The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. Welcome to the Arty Girl podcast, where we deep dive into the thriving arts and culture scene of Palm Beach County. I'm your host, Sarah LaPierre, and I'm here today with a very exciting guest, Tracy Gateau. She is a painter, multidisciplinary artist, and I think she is just this undeniable, thriving creative spirit. So I'm really excited to talk to her. Tracy, welcome to the podcast. You're here. Come on. I got you. You're in a safe space. We're here to talk about something that we both really love and adore and couldn't live without, the artwork. And it doesn't have to be just your artwork. We're talking about Palm Beach County artwork. We're talking about things that inspire us, reasons why we like to live here as artists, things that we're excited about and that we see happening and that we want to share and see more of, right? So I think I want to start with a little bit of the background so people can get to know you. So I think you have a background that a lot of artists could relate to. A lot of their experience could be shared with yours, which is that you grew up in New York, traditional Haitian parents. They weren't sure about the direction that you took, right, that you wanted to take as being an artist was maybe not the career that they saw for their daughter. But what was that like starting to, when you started to kind of go against that grain, go against maybe the more traditional careers that, you know, people aspired to at the time and lean into your artwork? Where did that start?
So I went to Bunch Park Elementary. It wasn't a magnet art program. I had a hard time in focusing in any academic class. But I had this one teacher, Miss Russell, that suggested magnet art program. To my parents then, they're like, oh, you know, anything like art program to them is like immediately you have to pay something. Like I'm not paying.
It's extra.
It's extra. So we're not going to go through that. But then she reinforced that it was like free. So when I got exposed to the art program, that's when I was like, this is what I need this. It wasn't a want.
Yeah.
It was like, I need this. I used to have F's and D's in school. Math, folder, drawing. Science, drawing. It didn't matter. English, drawing. But when they said that in order for me to stay in the program, I had to improve my grades, get out of fights, that's when people that knew me then and know me now was like, yo, this is not the same Tracy. This is not the same Tracy.
Tracy found art.
Yeah. Like, that was my therapy for real. That was my God for real. And then when I knew it was something more, and I still remember it to this day, that I started the magnet art program in Rainbow Park Elementary. I was walking, and this is Opa-locka. Opa-locka back in the day was not good. I have seen like prostitutes being thrown out the cars. I've seen drug dealers. There's like pit bulls. You've seen pit bulls. You ran. Okay. They were not nice. They were because they were trained differently, you know. But I heard this still voice like, this is not where you're going to be at. And art was it. Like back then, you're in elementary school. What can you tell your parents about? Oh yeah, I heard this still voice that told me. I don't even know if it was a voice. It was like something told me that art was it. I didn't know anything about high school, middle school. It was just like elementary school and that's it, you know. But it was just like that was it, art.
Yeah,
you know. So
but that was the spark.
That was
right. Yeah. That was that moment of I feel something differently. I'm engaging differently. I actually, I mean, it sounds like you found a place where you wanted to be. Are we good? Yeah, it sounds like you found a place where you wanted to be and you felt there's something here for me,
right,
that other academia is not, it's not working. It's yeah. not where I want to focus, spend my time.
Yeah.
But art was. So I think I've heard you talk before about your artwork kind of as a journaling yeah. process, and that's how it started.
That's when they exposed us to like sketchbooks.
Okay.
Then before it was like anything that I found, envelope, mm-hmm. a bill paper, I was drawing on it. Yeah. But then when they exposed us to sketchbooks, my mom would find me 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning drawing. She's like, what are you up to? You know, back then it was just like all these bad kids and we were so sheltered. Like I couldn't play with no friends. Like even when it came down to like cousins, like, so it was just like me drawing in the middle of the night. Like, you know, kids are supposed to be sleeping then, mm-hmm. you know, but I had just a sketchbook full of just stuff. I had a junk drawer full of things that I found on the, like, leaf, rock. If it was a dead butterfly, I don't care. It was in the sketchbook.
Yeah.
But again, it was therapy for me. That was how I was able to let go. I was the first daughter, too.
Mm.
So as far as me talking to anyone, like, you know, about what was going on, they didn't really understand that. So as my communication was art.
Yeah.
Words were not it. My parents were still working on that.
Yeah. Okay, well, first daughter comes with the like burden of responsibility in some cases, right? Where you're looked at as somebody who helps with the rest of the household, who maintains a certain level of like, we got this, things are good.
Yeah.
You set an example, you know, if you have younger siblings.
I was taking care of the siblings.
Absolutely.
You know, my mom was a nurse. My dad was like a security officer then. So there was like a big gap of, I had to like grow up quick too. Mm. So less was said, but more was said in my sketchbook.
You found a way
yeah.
to express
yeah.
in the art.
In my art, always.
So can I ask then how does the heritage come through in the art that we see from you today? Haitian heritage, Haitian culture, how does that get expressed through the scenes that we see you create?
I've been exposed to a lot of resiliency in my family. So through my work, not only am I, you know, painting for myself, but I'm also painting for other people too, to let them know that how much power they have.
Mm. Yeah.
How much, I'm sorry.
No. I'm not supposed to get emotional. We can get emotional here. Art is an emotional topic.
Yeah, how much power they have within them. So seeing my mom and my grandma in particular, my connection is more with women and anybody else, but more with women. But it's just like, yo, you just have so much in you. And I want to express that through my art. As far as my Haitian culture, like, they love color.
Mm.
They did not shy away from color. So through my pieces, you'll see a lot of color. I always, like, that's what I play is compa. Throughout all my pieces, what you see is it's a part of them too. They're not here. But yeah, I still want to share their story, but then also let people know how connected we all are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Your grandmother passed.
Yeah. Passed from cancer. And then my mom passed from cancer.
But they are still so much a part of the way you create and the messages that you create through your work. Can we talk about the piece that's behind you a little bit?
Yes.
I know you said earlier we were talking about it and it's maybe still a little bit of a work in progress, but it's beautiful when you walk through the door. Oh my God. I'm always so excited to see what you create truly. And this is a stunning work. Can you tell us a little bit about the story of this piece?
This one, I have throughout all my pieces, I have hidden words throughout them. But this one is with every piece, I want people to be reminded, to be encouraged too. This is to remind whoever, the viewer, of how far you've come. Be reminded about your story. Because sometimes when you get into that rut, you're so focused on the problem that you don't remind, you know, you don't remember on, there's so much, there's so much accomplished, there's so much good that has happened, you know, and how much peace that brings too. So
this is kind of what this piece is about.
I hide the words as I go. So okay. Sometimes I don't even remember
where they are.
Where they are. But again, it's for the viewer. So whatever word that pops up is for you. Mm-hmm. It's for you. So down here it says roots. And this is just a representation of your foundation.
Okay.
You know, yeah. And how strong your foundation is. And whatever this foundation is, like it blossoms. Like you are going to harvest from this, from your journey. So don't ever think like what you've been through is nothing. So that's what this piece is about.
I love it. Yeah, it feels like there's obviously a lot of actual physical time that's gone into this for the creation of it, for you, your process, but it feels like a piece that has a lot of time behind it. Yeah. Like you can see this growth, this development. This is not something that's like flash in the pan for, you know, that just came up out of nowhere. This is something that's been growing and working for, I don't know, years, centuries, maybe.
This
it has that look to it to me.
And that's like a kind of the theme of what I've been working on too. Is like, I feel like this year is like harvest season for like most people. Like, you know.
So, can you tell us a little bit about the actual process? Like, I always am curious to know, when other artists work, you know, what your studio is like or how you like to paint. How do you like to set up the stage for you to create? What does that look like? Like when you're getting into whatever your zone is, what is that like for you?
Well, compa music.
Yeah.
It's always my vibe. Nature. Lately, I've been getting more into nature, more outdoorsy. But right now, because of the mosquitoes and this rain in Florida, I set up right next to my window where I can see like my pool. Yeah. Cause I have this bush where this, like this hummingbird comes out of, and that's kind of where the reminder came from. Like if God can take care of this hummingbird, cause I was like, cause my fiance, he's also an artist. And I was like, don't cut the bush, like the hummingbird, like it's so little, like, cause I saw it, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so tiny.
Yeah,
I didn't
realize
how tiny they were. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, if God can take care of this little hummingbird, what about, I ain't no different. You know, like there's no, so that's where this came from.
I love that.
Thank you.
I love that that's your setup and inspiration currently right now. So let's talk about a little bit artistic journey. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the like artists, cultural figures, you know, things that you've sort of gotten inspiration from as an artist over the years?
You mean like other artists?
Sure. Other artists, people who have inspired your work, like styles that you, you know, gather inspiration from, anything like that.
I mean, there's a lot of artists in Palm Beach that do a lot of good work, but I don't really necessarily like pull the drive, you especially, because your professionalism is like on top tier, okay? You have Anthony Burks, you have Harold, Anthony Hernandez.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of world-class talent that either lives here, comes through here.
Right.
But also, I mean, you know, there's things that I see in your work, like there's some pieces that you use with a lot of gold.
Oh,
sometimes where I'm like, ooh, this reminds me of
the gold was more from Gustav.
Okay, yes. Yeah, like references like that.
Gustav Klimt with everything. Like his there's just like this level of like, I don't know, there's richness to it.
Yeah.
Even down to like I saw this documentary on him on these garments that he had on. I was like, ugh.
So Gustav is definitely one. And then you have Van Gogh with the...
Okay, a lot of movement.
The movement, yeah.
And that, I can see that. Yeah. So you mentioned the garments, right, mm-hmm. with Gustav. I'm seeing embroidery. I don't know if people can see this detail about the painting, but I'm seeing embroidery on the flowers. Yeah. And I know that you're not just a painter, multidisciplinary artist. You have a background in fashion as well as installation artwork. Yeah. So is there a reason to your like kind of season as artist? Are you always flowing through these different mediums? Do you kind of always come back to them? You're in painting and mixed media right now.
It's hard when people are like, so what do you do? I'm like, I'm an artist. Like, I'm a truly, truly an artist all around. Like, you can give me a rock right now and I will figure it out. Like, and I see like, like my views on things are like so. I majored in fashion design, and I was obsessed about the anatomy. So I wanted to be a medical illustrator,
yeah,
dissecting like the muscles and
right,
everything.
Right.
So I love that part of it, but then putting a fabric over it. And then putting a fabric over a woman's body, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then the movement of the fabric too. So it's a lot. Like, I just go, I want to do everything.
Yeah. Okay?
So this piece was more of like, I went to New World School of the Arts. So we were exposed to mixed media in every aspect. And it was kind of cultish because it was like, if you saw an artwork from a New World student, you're like, you went to New World.
Okay.
Because we all painted big. Mm. We all paint, like, it's just like, this is the same artist. Like, I remember we went to, we had a class where our teacher, Jim Hunter, we had to paint white, something white. So everybody was just using the tube of white or like blue for the shadows. And he's like, no. And then we had this, that was another artist that I'm highly inspired by, Rainier Gamboa. He's an artist.
Oh my gosh, incredible.
Yes. From my high school.
Amazing.
So we saw his work and it was like 50 shades of white.
Oh, yeah. He's a master colorist. I mean, his color palette.
Every time he's like a reminder, mm-hmm. like, okay, how many blues? No, that's not enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right.
So, yeah.
The first time I saw his work, I went to school locally, Palm Beach State College, and one of the professors there had pulled a piece of his into the show and it was just mind blowing.
Every time. And then he has like a photogenic memory too. Like he.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he'll look at you and then all of a sudden you're like, how did I, you have a picture of me somewhere?
Wow.
Yeah. He's crazy. He's like insanely good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is crazy. So about more influences, you spent some time at University of Westminster in London, is that right?
Yeah, rise of fashion.
And how did that kind of influence the way that you worked at the time?
Okay, so I was in Rhode Island at the time and I knew about layers because it was cold. I went over there with my Florida gear, my little Puma sneakers, and my toes were curling because I did not know about negative anything.
Oh my gosh, yeah. What is that world? I don't know.
Oh my gosh. So when I went to London, there was a different type of layering when it came to fashion.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces. Spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
So that exposure alone, I was just like, oh my gosh. And even there are some stores over there that was like considered like the Forever 21 here.
Okay. Yeah.
That when I went over there, I'm like, oh my God, this is like amazing. They're like, this is like nothing. What are you going crazy for? So yeah, it was. We learned more about like marketing proposals and stuff like that for fashion. But then when it came to like constructing the fabric, like it was like more into suits and how a 16th of an inch like made a big deal in your garment. So, yeah, it was a good, 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 good. time there. I didn't want to leave, even though it was like gray the whole entire time. But when I was over there, I was like, oh my God, the air smells so fresh. It was amazing. I liked it. Yeah.
Is there a part of like those, that fashion background, those components that are active in your work today?
Yeah. So I have this whole thing planned, like with this piece. So each piece will be a garment, because I also feel like the fabric world has failed in Florida. Joann's, oh my God, shoot me. you have Walmart. Like, they used to have like a nice little fabric selection in Miami, but I don't think it's not as, there was more selection, you know? And then they had one in Clematis, and then they shut down.
That was MAC Fabrics, right?
Yeah. They shut down. So I'll not selling fabrics, but I'll be making more garments. So what I do, I have my paintings printed on fabric to create a pattern.
Okay.
And then I construct it into something else, which is what you'll see.
So cool.
Next year at the cultural council.
Oh, okay. Exciting. I'm going to ask you more about that later, because we got to talk about the fellowship. I want to know how things are going and how that's kind of influencing. Some other things I wanted to ask you. Career highlights. Mm-hmm. You have been a part of some really cool, high profile projects. Like, you have done these amazing collaborations. You did this whole installation piece with the Naomi Osaka team. Yeah. And that was, I mean, I didn't get to see it in person. I've seen videos of that installation. That was huge. What was it like for you to have your artwork showcased on a bigger platform and kind of work with these icons?
Yeah. First of all, it was the story behind that is crazy, because I was on my way to eat some food, some Japanese spot near my house in Green Acres. So I'm in the parking lot. It was like nighttime, and the producer calls, and he's like, "Hey, Naomi Osaka wants you to work with her on an art installation." I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Oh, I just wanted to let you know that she knows you by name. Like, we were in a meeting, and she say, I want Tracy Gateau there." I'm like, "She knows who?" And mind you, my mom's been talking about Naomi this whole time, so that's how I knew of her too. Because I'm such a hermit crab. I don't really watch TV, or I'm not really into like so much. But when I found that out, and then found out that, then I went through my Instagram. I'm like, wait, what's going on? She was following me. I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to die. this is insane. But I was in such fear, because I was pregnant too. I was like, I'm going to fly over there. They're not going to have me do this, because I'm pregnant, and I was nauseous. Oh, I wanted to throw up everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, still went through. I told them by the time I got there that I was pregnant. But anyways, it was amazing. It was really amazing. And then to have her help me too. But it meant so much, because she was part Haitian. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is such, that's all I want to do, is like be the best representation for Haiti. Like, you know, I wasn't born there, but my family is from there. Mm-hmm. And the people, you talk about love, like, they will drop whatever, you know, just to help. Like, they just, so just to be a representation for her was like amazing. And then for her to see little me, like, you know, like at her, like, it meant a lot. It meant a lot. And then LeBron being a part of it too, which was like insane. So I was just
right.
Like,
so was that part LeBron, of the same project? Because he has a media company that you also worked on a project with, right?
It was part of the same project.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing.
So it was his group and her. Yeah.
I mean, that's such a loaded artist. Collab. That's,
I know.
So excited.
I was just like, what's going on? And that was my first time in California too. So I was just like, oh, California was amazing. The weather was just perfect. Like, you know, but yeah. Yeah, it was called the Osaka Wave. And then I had all these news articles that I created that was about her, from her upbringing, from when she was young. With her sister, I included her sister in it, and then I folded them and designed the, it was like a kimono slash another Haitian attire on the side. But yeah.
And then, I mean, you had all these tennis balls, of course, like yeah, and the, flowing was, out yeah. from the garment that are both on the ground, like pooling out and yeah. up in the air, it, hanging.
It was like,
I mean, it was tornado. A really involved installation.
Yeah. It was my first installation too.
Did yeah. that inspire anything else? Like that kind of doing to that level
going,
of work?
To keep going, because you don't know who's watching. Mm.
You don't, who, know, you don't who's know who's got your number, obviously.
Right. You
who's going to call you?
I was like, my last name. You know how many times they said my last name? It's Ghetto, Ghetto, Gaito, Guitar. So, yeah, for her to know my last name and my, it meant a lot. It still means a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really grateful.
No, that's such a cool piece of your story as an artist. And then another one that I wanted to ask about was the, I don't, collab is the right word, or the exhibit that you were a part of. As the exhibit that you were part of, Disney recognized you and yeah. featured your work as a part of the Wakanda Forever film.
Yeah.
You had a piece of work featured. What was that process like? Like being on that platform that, and...
That was like... this is kind of like the first time I'm talking about it. I don't know if I can talk about it. Can I?
Disney?
No.
Mickey?
It has something to do with something else. When Disney reached out, I was actually working full-time with another company. Again, this calling was hitting hard as far as, like, you talk about burnt out. It was, like, burnt out for real. And it was to the point where I can't even, it's just like, I tell everybody, I would rather have physical burnout than mental. Okay. Yeah. Mental does something to you. But when they reached out, was at that point where I was just like, this is not it. So the day that they wanted me to go was when I'm like dedicated to something, I'm super loyal. Right. So I was like, I can't let this company down, you know, like, but my heart is telling me, like, yo, Disney, Marvel, iHeart Comic is at your door right now, and they want to fly you over to California for the premiere of Wakanda. What are you doing? Let you know. What's going on? So I went, designed whatever they wanted for the Wakanda premiere, because I was just going to send it over. But then I was like, oh, the experience to be over there, though, would be amazing, you know? Went ahead and took that and left. It was like a two-day event. Amazing experience. Like, I've met some people, when you talk about energy, like, it really matters on who you're around. Because although I'm loyal to this company, it's just like, yo, it was nothing compared to being around creatives.
Yeah.
Like, these were, you know, actors, and like, they just, and being around people that are passionate about what they do.
Passionate and active.
Oh, right? My gosh. Like, yeah. That gave me such a charge. Like, I didn't care. I was like, yo, guy got this, guy got me, you know, like, this is insane. And then the piece was actually donated to the Chadwick Foundation. So that was another layer of it too, because he died from cancer.
Right.
And then I was just like, like, you know, my mom, her last thing was like, you know, donate something to the cancer thing, like, on when she left. So I wanted to dedicate that as, like, you know, my mom, not me, but my mom wanted to give this, you know. So, and then the next day I got let go. But then, when I got, like, I was like, what if I did not bet on myself? And I just stayed with the company and I dismissed this opportunity
with Disney.
That would have hurt me more. Regret would hurt me more. You know, so I was proud that I did it. I was glad that I did it, because it also lifted up so much weight off of me, because I finally did something for me.
You're choosing yourself, and you're choosing what you know in your spirit is, like, your driving force.
Right.
Denying that's not easy. I mean, you can do it.
Yeah.
Not forever, I don't think, healthily.
Right.
But
this is like, yeah. And it's still, I'm still getting out of the burnout phase, but it's been, feels so much lighter now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think you and I share this where we have the tendency to be hermit crabs, mm-hmm. like you said, and you know, these opportunities come up and obviously there's excitement, there's adrenaline, there's all of these feelings and things. And you know, as a professional artist, you know, have to push yourself to continue to advance, to continue to grow, not just in your creative talent and ability, but in the way that you market yourself or that, you know, in the exhibits that you're a part of or the areas that you're connecting with, the people you're connecting with, and how that energy, you know, if you keep putting yourself, like you said, around the people that right. charge you up, energize you, are on your team, are cheerleaders for you, right. how much of a difference it that does. Makes
it does.
in your spirit, and that flows into your creative process, and it just keeps, you know, it's one of those like rising tides raise all ships sort of feeling where right. we all win if we keep showing up as the true self and right. keep every little step, even though, oh, maybe don't feel like flying across the country, or maybe I don't feel like putting myself in this scary new environment among people that I don't know.
And
but
that happened recently.
Is it happening now? No.
No, it happened recently where I had to, it was related to art, yeah. but I had to say no to something big, and I was just like, but it's something in me was like, no, this is not it.
Yeah.
This is not it.
Yeah.
But on the resume, it would look grand for my artwork, you know, but I was just like, this is.
I hear you. There are times when no is an appropriate response too, right? Like, you know, not everything has to be a yes.
Yeah.
And if it feels like an if or a resounding no, then right. it's best to just leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know, the right things come up for you. Right. And if it's meant for you, it'll right. probably come back around in right. the same or other ways, right? right? Like it's going to find its way to you. If something is calling your name,
right.
it's going to come back around.
That's I think that. Because it was like some ambassador in Guatemala and I'm like, okay.
you're like, find me in a couple years.
Right. I'll be good.
Yeah. You know. I'll be working. Okay, I'll be here. Okay. So I wanted to ask, We share a little creative history journey moment in that we have both been participants at the Artie Girl Fine Arts Festival.
Right.
And we've both been poster artists.
Yes.
So what was that process like for you when you were, you know, showing your work in this way? It's not the same as a gallery exhibit. It's, you know, you're present, you're creating the work that is the face of that art show right. for that season.
Right.
What was that process like for you?
That I just felt like at that period, yes, I could have painted, you know, some sun and a boat or something. but it was just so many people I came across, including myself, during COVID. Like, you know, it's so many people, like, that was like a new experience. And I wanted to give out some hope. And give out a reminder, like just to empower people. So I think I had Seek Love or something hidden in the piece. But the whole piece was about like to watch what you say about yourself, about others. And then you'll see everything else around you go.
Okay. I love that because there was a female figure and she had flowers, right?
Flowers in her eyes.
Yes, in her eyes.
Yeah, flowers in her eyes and then flowers and like butterflies around her.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, watch how you speak to yourself. Because it's so much going on. Just to empower whoever. Because I was just like, I don't know. Like I wanted something to really speak.
Well, it was beautiful. And it was the first time, I believe, that a Black artist was featured as the poster artist and also featured in the artwork.
Yeah.
So you're expanding this audience into people who want and need to see themselves and should see themselves in the artwork that this show, you know, showcases and elevates.
Yeah.
So I think that was a really exciting moment too about that piece. And then of course it's a full weekend of showing your work. You know, you're there with, I don't know if you go with your family or if you go with, you know, anybody who helps you, or if you're in the booth and you're talking to people about your work all weekend, and it's a lot of like interactions that, you know, you never know who you're meeting or chatting with. It's just a,
it's like, I've met a lot of followers that I, it was a lot. It was a good experience. Yeah. Good experience. I sold a lot of pieces too. One I'm still in contact with, she's in New Jersey. But yeah, it was a very good experience. Yeah.
Is there a way as an artist that you prefer to share your work, like art show, gallery, exhibit, online? Is there a like a version of that that you find?
Well, because I'm a hermit, it would be online.
Okay. How did I know it that was going to be the answer?
Online, okay.
But I'm really trying. That's another version. I'm trying to get out there more because I know this is not really about me. Mm-hmm. It's more about, you know, and that's why I'm out here too. Because,
yeah,
not too long ago, I had all my paintings because they were so personal to me. Mm-hmm. They're diaries. Mm-hmm. And I felt exposed. I'm like, oh my God, they're about, because original, I was hiding my diaries in my sketchbook because of my mom. My mom was reading everything and I was like, oh no, you can't read it. It's like, you know, so I was hiding them in there. So it just transferred over to the paintings. Okay. So then, yeah. When they saw, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to know everything.
You're like, this is my soul on a canvas you're, right. You're looking at?
You're going to know everything.
So, yeah. But then, yeah. God told me this is not about me. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that needs it too.
I heard, there was a quote that I heard recently from an artist that I just really like. She's a modern artist. Her name's Ashley Longshore. She has a gallery in New York. She's known for being kind of like, outlandish in her style and her work and the way she speaks and the way she engages, but she is famously a self-represented artist, right?
Yes.
She has her own gallery. She does her own sales. So she just said something, I think it was an interview, where she's like, she who toots her own horn controls the volume. Mm. And I mean, you know, in this day and age, we have the ability to get our work seen and out there, social media, websites, more accessibility and things like that. So you really can, like, you know, have your hand on the volume knob yourself.
Right, right. And that's a new phase that that's a new phase I'm in right now, as far as like less exhibitions. Mm. I feel like I need more. I'm more on focused on creating.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I feel like some of these exhibitions have been like distractions. Where just like you're forcing, like, let me hurry up and just get a piece in here. And it's just like, no, I don't want it to be rushed anymore. Like, this is, there's more meaning. There's more purpose. There's behind this piece. I just don't want to be in that state anymore. Because again, I'm coming out of burnout. I don't want
to
be back.
You don't want to go right back into the hustle culture of like, hurry up and produce. And I mean, social media, let's be real, gives us that sense of constantly, you have to post every day or you have to stay relevant, or you have to, as an artist, you have to show up in as many exhibits and, you know, things as you can so that you're not forgotten about, which is not the truth.
Right. No.
And I think it's important to do things in a timeline that feel good
and at your
to
own
you.
Pace. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not missing out on anything.
Right.
I'm not, because it's just like, again, Naomi Osaka, Disney, the Guatemala person, you know, like it's been showing me, like, you know, they see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These opportunities.
Yeah.
They're coming for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes like Ebony. It or not.
I forgot about Ebony.
Oh my God. Tell us about that.
Oh my gosh. That was insane because it was so last minute too. That was amazing because I was around other artists that I've seen on, you know, those the social media, like the top, it was like John Moody and pretty artists and I forgot his name. It was like a couple of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have like 100,000 people following them. And they're in movies and shows and the pretty artist, she had her piece, I think Blue Ivy like bidded on one of her piece.
Oh my gosh. Like that.
And Tyler Perry wanted to bid on her piece. And they were fighting over her piece. So anyway, so just to be in that same group, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, and meeting the director of Ebony and the head CEO. Like, it was just, that was another moment of where I also didn't feel alone. Because again, my grandma and my mom were my cheerleaders and they're not here anymore. So I just felt like, I'm like, thank you. You know, like that was very emotional because to see, they projected my work on the walls and to see it that big.
Oh, yeah.
And then to see everybody else, like, you know, and then they had like some rapper guy. I don't know his name. Everybody's like, he's famous. I'm like, I don't know who he is.
You're like, I'm a hermit.
But yeah, it's just like everybody's just staring at the artwork on the wall. It was amazing. And to see all the old like Ebony magazines with Oprah and it just showed me like, yo, you are heading. And that was the year that I got let go too. So it was just like, yo, you are going in the, don't worry. Like, you know.
Yeah, I feel like you're getting some really solid signs.
Yeah,
that you are on the good path. I am my like
worst critic. You hear me? Like worst. Okay. I hear people like, oh my God. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's all this right here. I'm too hard on myself.
Yeah. I get it. Okay, so what else do I want to get into? Some of the community aspects, right, of this area, Palm Beach County. As an artist living and working in this area, what are some of the ways that you like to stay engaged in the community when you're not in hermit mode?
Engage with the community.
Sure. Yeah. Like, maybe you could tell us about, another question I love to ask is, what art, museum, piece, you know, event should people know about if they're in this area, if they're visiting this area? What's something that you've experienced here that you're like, everybody needs to know about this and go see and experience this art form or this artwork?
Okay. I'm all about like supporting local artists, like, you know, because the rich ones won't need it. Okay. So you have this this group that's called ATB. Fine art. That's the Anthony Burks and Trina. They would have art shows continuously, I think. And then they have like a foundation, No Starving Artists.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Everybody should know about that to support, because people don't understand. We don't have blueprints.
Right.
Okay.
There's no specific rule book follow, right, that leads to success.
Right.
Yeah.
There's nothing, okay? It's all something that we're all following inside. And then now that I have kids, it means even more, okay? And I've been in the corporate world, okay, all for a title. And as I'm getting older and now that I have kids, it don't matter. Because that mental means a lot more than a title, okay? And I want my kids to be happy and do what they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're passionate about is where you are going to be taken care of. And that's what God's showing me every single day. So No Starving Artists, ATB at Fine Arts, I think I'm saying it right. You also have the Norton Museum. They had a female sculpture artist over there that was from RISD. I went to RISD. I got excited because I was like, oh my God. she was over there. So I was in love. I forgot her name. But seeing that, you know, like people are just doing it out there. You know what I'm saying? And then the peach.
Oh, hey, thank you. We love the Peach Art Collective.
And then the peach. Okay. Wait. I forgot the name. I'm a mom. My brain is like really shut as far as like, you know, remembering names. But yeah, those are the top things I can think of right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Norton's world-class museum.
Yeah.
There's some amazing exhibitions that come through there, right, along with their like permanent collection that they have. If I'm ever in a mode of stuck, you know, if I'm creatively out of juice,
right,
or I just can't, you know, I'm struggling to kind of get the momentum,
right,
I'm going to take myself a little trip to the Norton or to the Norton Sculpture Garden or to one of these, you know, places that we have here to just soak up the energy, the other creative, you know, forces that are around us and get some inspiration back.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Norton's a great one. What else? Community wise, talked about staying, some of the things that you like to experience and what people should see. Let's see. Did I miss anything on the first page? I think I got to all of that. Okay, good.
Let me check and see.
Okay. A couple questions left.
Okay.
We almost made it through this. You're doing great. I love it. Okay, so lastly, what I like to do is just kind of see where things are heading in the future for your work. Mm-hmm. If you have a series that you're working on right now, I know that I wanted to talk to you about the, let me look at this and say this right. Artist Innovation Fellowship. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk to you about your experience so far with the 2024 Artist Innovation Fellowship. And can you tell me what that is?
The Artist Innovation was where they give you funds to do whatever.
Okay. It's a grant program.
It's a grant program to do whatever art-wise that you wanted to do. And it helped a lot. Like I said, I was let go. That was like the bread of most of the bills. But throughout my art, like, has been covering most. But this was just like a topping. And I even told David, if I didn't even have the grant, I was still done. to do, because it's just so much passion. And that's like the main focus of everything. Like, if I'm not passionate, I'm not doing it. Mm. So it just gave me that oomph.
Yeah.
Like, to, like, I'm all in.
Right.
Like, and it's crazy because the piece that they wanted in Guatemala is what I had to cancel for this cultural council show.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah. So that's what the grant is through. So it's through the cultural council. The fellowship is what I'm talking about.
The fellowship is through cultural council. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I mean, I love this idea that it's a grant because some of them are very specific to what artists have to do, have to complete, have to write where they have to be.
Yeah.
Whatever. This is a grant that's like, what do you want to do as an artist? We want you to go do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's giving you this like great support that says, you know, here's some dollars. We love your vision.
Yeah.
Show us what you want to do.
Yes.
That's the ultimate as an artist,
I'm excited. I'm
so excited. With that, is there an exhibition at the end?
There's an exhibition in June, June of next year.
Nice. So that'll be, and you're one of multiple artists that are.
Yeah, it's a group exhibition.
So it's a group exhibition. The works will be showcased at the Cultural Council building.
At the Cultural Council, building.
Okay, which that building, I love, is beautiful. I love the shows that they do. Oh, that's really exciting. So this is something that you're working on actively now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh. And is that, this piece is a part of that or separate? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see what's coming out next. I love that. So another thing that I kind of finish this up with is if you have any advice for other artists, for other people who are kind of, you know, coming up next, who might be listening to this or watching your path, and what you would say to them, or, you know, a takeaway that you might give them.
Dang, I had something. What did I have in my head? You know what? What I'm learning, you know, at this stage right now, is to focus on the promises to yourself. Be strict with that, you know, because that's where you have power. Whatever you say that you want to do for you, that's what you do. Don't listen to, you know, what other, listen, everybody's journey is different. There's a reason why whatever is, you know, just follow your passion and focus on the promises that you have for yourself. And then you'll see how, like me, all these doors are opening out of the blue. I was like an influencer. I was like, wait, I'm an influencer? What is going on? Like, I'm not even on this platform like this. Listen, focus on your promises. That's where you have your power.
I love that.
Yeah. That's powerful. Powerful advice. Thank you. I feel so lucky that you came on this podcast.
Thank you.
And
then
we got to talk to you and you got to share your story. And I'm just always excited to be around the, you know, people and the artists that I feel inspired by. Same. Here in Palm Beach County. Like,
same.
Just great to have you on. So same. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you're the host. Because trust, if you're anybody else, I'm good. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you to Tracy so much for being on this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to her story and got some inspiration out of it. I always love talking and sharing these stories about the amazing creative energy that we have here in Palm Beach County and Florida. Thank you. Big, big thank you to the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County for being the sponsor of this Arty Gras podcast. I hope you'll hit follow and subscribe and all the things that you get to stay tuned and see the next episode. I'll see you then.